assumed he was trying to sweep with most of them so it didn't fit with his agenda, whatever that agenda was. So, the fact I was annoyed as hell at my last name coming out of his mouth right now made no sense. It seemed to be the morning for it. Being pissed off and things not making sense. You said we'd do it my way. I was sure I hadn't hallucinated that part of the conversation. I distinctly remembered my shock that he'd given in so easily. You don't get to turn it around now and say I misheard.
No, you heard me correctly. But you clearly didn't understand what I meant.
He could barely contain his grin.
I asked you if you wanted a war. You said if that's what it took. So, we're doing it your way. You present your defense, and I'll present mine, and whichever the client picks will be the way we go.
Speechless. My mouth opened and closed a few times as I struggled to find words. Nope. He made an exaggerated display of checking his watch.
Oh, and she's been waiting a while, so we should get back and plead our cases, don't you think?
I haven't had time to prepare my case. You had all of yesterday. I stopped short of saying it wasn't fair because that would sound too childish, but it was exactly what I was thinking.
Well then, you better think on your feet.
He tipped his head toward the door.
Maybe appeal to her sense of sisterhood, girl power, that kind of thing?
He raised his eyebrow and continued to mock me. Game on, Pierce. I didn't bother waiting for him to move, shoving him aside as I marched to the door and flung it open. I also didn't wait, heading back to the boardroom with quick, confident strides, feeling the sense of power surging through my veins. When I entered, Daniel was going over assets with Jana and most likely apologizing for our hasty exit. He would want to speak to both of us at some point, too, but that was a concern for another time. Right now, I needed to talk fast and think faster and turn this around somehow.
Glad you could rejoin us.
Daniel might not have been hostile, but he didn't sound glad either.
I trust the two of you are ready to proceed.
The warning loud and clear as Roman and I retook our seats. Yes, we wanted to present Ms. Kane two lines of defense, I said, knowing the minute Roman started talking he would try and bewitch her with his sexy self-confidence. He might have encouraged me to try and use the sisterhood as a means of swaying her, but he would be bringing his own big guns, and charming was not something that was in short supply. So, if you will allow me to start, I waited for Jana to nod before continuing. Here is why I believe settling would be a mistake and what should be our plan moving forward. I didn't leave room for interpretation, spelling it out as clear as I could that an aggressive approach would be what we needed and why. Both Jana and Daniel listened intently as I built my case on the fly while Roman sat in silence, his fingers tented in front of him with the urge to say something probably eating him alive. He waited. Waited until I was finished, and I could almost taste the victory. And it was at exactly that moment that he calmly opened his folder and double-barreled his counter-argument like he was presenting newfound evidence for an innocent man on death row.
Well, they are both compelling arguments.
Jana adjusted her jacket as she looked to Daniel.
I'm going to need some time to process it.
Of course, Ms. Kane.
Daniel nodded.
Take the afternoon, and I'll get my secretary, Stephanie, to schedule a meeting for tomorrow.
She lifted herself gracefully out of her chair, shaking Daniel's hand first before moving to Roman's and mine as she thanked us for our time. Daniel escorted her out, while Roman and I managed to keep the fake smiles in place.
You honestly think you can get him to agree to your terms?
She stopped at the door, looking back to me.
And he will have no claim on the patent.
Yes, I do.
Chapter 5.
She won't agree.
He was the first to talk, unbuttoning his suit jacket as he sat down.
You think you have it in the bag, but she's going to go home, think about the risk, and what she could lose if we go your way. She isn't a gambler, Harper, and that was your mistake.
He leaned back smugly, not the slightest bit concerned. I had basically kicked his ass before and I would do it again. Why? Because she is a woman?
my back straightened, ready to show him exactly what a woman could do.
No, because she is scared to lose.
His eyes stayed on mine.
Fear doesn't play out well in a courtroom, which is exactly where this is heading. She's scared shitless, and if she wasn't, she wouldn't have asked for the reassurance at the door. She isn't sure about you, but she knows I can deliver what she asked. And that's why tomorrow she's going to stay with her original agreement of a quick and quiet divorce.
He simmered with the confidence he always seemed to possess. Yeah? Well, we'll just have to wait and see then, won't we? I crossed my arms, not willing to concede that he'd won. There was no way to know yet, and her body language gave nothing away. And as for Roman's bullshit observation, that didn't prove anything. He just wanted to rattle my cage a little, make me think he had already won. But the truth was, he knew nothing.
You want to make it interesting?
His hands anchored at the back of his neck as he spun around on his chair to face me. Seriously? You want to gamble over whether or not she will gamble? The irony was not lost on me.
Do you have any fun at all?
He deadpanned.
Like, anything that could mildly be perceived as a good time?
Shut up and tell me what you had in mind. I still hadn't agreed to it, but part of me was curious.
Winner gets to pick the loser's next case.
His eyebrow arched, drawing me in.
And the loser takes it, relinquishing complete control.
The way his lips moved around those words was ridiculously erotic, and I could only blame the high emotions of the morning for my confused, aroused state.
What do you say, Harper?
He toyed with me further, his mouth twisting around my name seductively.
You game?
It was hard to swallow, the air seeming to be thicker as I breathed, and I couldn't make myself say no. I didn't want to say no. But giving him that kind of dominion over me wasn't wise, especially when I didn't know his intentions. Of course, all of that only mattered if I lost. Which I wouldn't. Tanya Pearson needs help with the L-Corp merger, I said before I could stop myself. He'd be buried in litigation for weeks, maybe even months. Stuck in corporate hell with forensic accountants and a team of brown suit-wearing Wall Street guys. Chances were good he'd probably have to fly to New York. Out of sight, out of mind, and more importantly, out of my way. It has your name all over it.
Oh, yeah?
He didn't look concerned, almost as if he welcomed the challenge.
Well, ITP wants to acquire a fiber optics company. Happy scouting.
Wow. He was a lot kinder with his case suggestion than I had been. Still, we didn't have time for me to question his motives or wonder if he was getting soft. Besides, all of that only came into play if Jana went with his strategy, so there was no point thinking about something that wasn't going to happen. We shook on the deal, Daniel walking back in with a face full of fury.
I'm not sure if this was some bullshit role play or if you two have lost your damn minds, but if you lose Jana Kane as a client, you're both going to get knocked down to filing claims against market stalls selling counterfeit goods. And I assure you, it is not as interesting as it sounds.
And by the look of Daniel's flaring nostrils, it wasn't a threat. More a promise, if one or the two of us screwed up what should have been a slam dunk.
We've got it handled.
Roman oozed with his trademark composure.
Just want to make sure our client has the best options available.
You might be able to pull that with her, Roman, but I'm not buying it,
Daniel warned, meeting Roman's eyes before turning back to me.
Whatever she decides tomorrow, you will both play nice and wrap this up. We get her divorce in the can, and we sign her as an ongoing client. And we already know what kind of money is on the table.
We're not going to blow this, I added, meaning every word.
Good.
Daniel's hands sunk into his pants pockets, not looking any more reassured than when he walked in.
Now, because of your excellent work today, I'm going to reward you. The two of you get to take the rest of the day to knock out both angles. I know how much you love spending time together.
Enjoy.
He didn't wait for a response, walking out the doorway and leaving us alone in the boardroom.
You got another date? Roman baited, ignoring we had unofficially been put on notice by our boss, who was a named partner. You might want to call him now, get the disappointment out of the way.
What about you? I glared, wondering why he enjoyed pushing my buttons as much as he did. Surely he had bigger things to worry about. His job, for one. Tuesday nights. I tapped my lip, pretending to be deep in thought. Isn't that your regular hookup with Carla? Or is she Friday nights and Rebecca is Tuesday? I get them confused. They all look the same. I hated that I knew their names and the frequency of which he seemed to entertain his female companions. All in the name of knowing your adversary, information was useful, and that was the only reason I knew. He laughed, not bothering to deny it.
Carla, and she knows that my work comes first. I'm sure she'll find some other way to fill her evening. But I'll let her know you were concerned. Maybe the two of you can have lunch sometime, talk about how wonderful I am.
Ugh, excuse me while I go throw up. Who even thinks like that, let alone says it out loud? Don't flatter yourself, Roman. I waved him off, trying to get my gag reflex under control. If I had anything to say about you, I'm positive you wouldn't want her or anyone else hearing it.
Rule number one, Harper?
He leaned in closer, so close every breath I took came with an inhale of his infectious cologne.
Don't assume you know what I want.
He was too close, and I didn't hate it. No, of course I hated it. I hated him, every part of him, and that was why I took a step back. Your rules won't mean shit if we don't get to work. I moved to the safety of the table and sat down. I'm not getting demoted because of you. The file on the table getting my full attention. He didn't answer, keeping his usually well-timed comebacks to himself as he took a seat beside me. I felt his stare on me, but ignored it. Ignored him, as I reread the same paragraph 3 times, and it still didn't make sense. It was too quiet in the room, everything too still. And while I had worked with him hundreds of times, side by side, today it was making my skin itch.
Something wrong, Harper?
I didn't lift my head or acknowledge him, keeping my focus on the page in front of me. Shut up and start researching. I wasn't sure if he was done playing or he was bored already, but either way, he did what I asked and opened his own file. Thankfully, he kept his mouth shut and his invasive glances to himself. We fell into a similar routine as the day before. While I spared him my torture by whiteboard, we did discuss my suggestion and put together a game plan. Well, 2 game plans. We still weren't sure which way Jana was leaning. And by the time we lifted our heads from the files and our conversation, the floor was virtually empty. Again, we were almost alone.
You think one of the other partners has better scotch? I yawned, not convinced we'd be done before midnight.
Sleeping under a desk looked like a very real possibility.
Burn drinks Kentucky bourbon but keeps it under lock and key. I could probably pick the lock, but the old bastard is so paranoid he probably has his office under constant video surveillance, he answered without hesitation, throwing out the information like it was common knowledge. And Carter is a recovering alcoholic.
My eyes darted around, checking to make sure we were alone as I lowered my voice. Even in private, the conversation felt wrong. How do you know all this? His eyes twinkled in delight, his lips curling at the edges.
Did I just impress you?
Just answer the question. I ignored his, because it wasn't the first time he'd impressed me. I was just usually better at hiding it.
Well, he swung around in his chair. Carter is easy. His 5-year sobriety coin is sitting on his desk. He has a nervous habit of flipping it between his fingers whenever he's working on a tough case.
It was funny how I'd been in Desmond Carter's office so many times and never noticed. Not that I had a habit of walking into a room and taking a mental snapshot on the off chance I had to recreate it for a crime scene later. I wondered how much else I didn't notice, or if Roman just had incredible observation skills. And he was right. I was very impressed.
And Burn's wife is from Tennessee, he continued when I didn't speak. Every month, he gets a package with a bottle of special reserve bourbon from a small but old distillery from the small town she grew up in. She hates the West Coast, hates L.A. even more. So, if I was to guess, she is trying to subliminally convince him to move. The smooth swallow of a good bourbon will probably get a man thinking about those pretty green rolling hills, sitting in a rocking chair while he watches the sunset. Or she's trying to give him liver disease so he finds himself in an early grave and she inherits his money. Either way, she gets to go home better than when she left it. He laughed, seeming to be unconcerned for the possible untimely death of one of the senior partners.
You investigated them?
It was asked as a question, but I already knew the answer. While the coin on the desk was easy enough to notice, or maybe not, considering I'd completely missed it, the details on Carter's personal life weren't. He shrugged. Don't look so shocked. I want to know who I work for. Their weaknesses, whether or not their firms were propped up on solid foundations, or if the name was the best thing going for them.
Let me guess. Your guy? The earlier mention of the investigator making a little more sense. I wondered who else he'd looked into.
Partly, and I highly recommend it.
He leaned closer, his gaze more attentive than I would have liked.
But a lot is observation, just keeping your eyes open. You'd be surprised what people hide, even those you think you know.
I have nothing to hide. I straightened, mentally cataloging everything that could be remotely bad in my past. Ambition had meant keeping my head down and studying. Therefore, my past hadn't been filled with scandal or shadiness. There was nothing even close to be worth worrying about.
His phone buzzed, the illuminating screen and vibration stopping whatever he was going to say as he brought it to his ear. Roman, he answered, his name in place of a regular hello.
Hmm, I see.
He kept his eyes on me as the person on the other end of the line spoke.
Okay, sure. Thanks.
His words coming out sharp and clipped while his face betrayed nothing.
Bye.
Bad news? I asked, unable to pretend I wasn't curious about the call.
Here's an idea.
He closed his file, completely avoiding the question.
Let's go find a bar and I'll buy you a drink. And for the record, I'm not cheap.
I didn't need it on record. One look at his wardrobe and I can tell he liked the finer things. Expensive suits, nice ties, and there was his watch. Not flashy Rolex, but it didn't look like he'd got it at Walmart either.
Are you trying to distract me?
Or spike my drink so I'd forget what he'd told me? It hadn't escaped my attention the offer of a drink was after a secretive phone call and after he'd admitted he'd investigated the senior partners.
When I'm trying to distract a woman, she won't know it.
He grinned, continuing to distractingly not be distractive.
I'm tired and I'm thirsty. Besides, none of this is going to matter anyway.
He waved his hands over the other files strewn across the boardroom table.
Tomorrow, Jana is going to walk in and tell Daniel we're going with my plan. So we're just wasting a perfectly good night.
That's not what's going to happen. I shook my head, refusing to accept he'd already won. But your enthusiasm should be commended. Good for you.
Suit yourself.
He shrugged, rising out of his chair and buttoning up his jacket.
But I'm done for the night.
You're leaving?
My eyes bulged wide in disbelief.
Roman was cocky, but never irresponsible, not with work anyway.
So while he might be confident on what tomorrow's decision was going to be, he wouldn't risk being underprepared. Would he? Unless this was some ploy to make me underprepared so Jana would have no choice but to choose him?
Sure am. So you can come with me and get that drink? Or not?
He waited, resting his arm on the back of the chair.
Your way, my way, tomorrow's outcome isn't being changed by anything we do tonight.
He was right about that. Chances were Jana had already made her choice. But there was something about tonight that made me unsettled.
Roman had never asked me out for a drink.
Never. We'd been out together at a bar after work, but there were always other people around, other associates, work people. It had never been the two of us.
He didn't need any more friends, remember? So while the invitation was unexpected and an obvious diversion, I couldn't deny I was curious. Roman in the wild was something I'd never seen before. It wasn't something that was easy to turn down, either. That's why the idea was tempting, so I could get some secret insight like he seemed to have on everyone else, something that could potentially be useful further down the line. Information was good. Practical. Wanting to say yes had nothing to do with the fact he was an attractive, smart man who would never ask a woman like me on a real date. It wasn't that I was being self-critical. I knew I was smart, and while I wasn't a candidate for Sports Illustrated, I wasn't hideous either. But Roman had a very definite type. The women he was interested in were always beautiful, and while I could probably qualify for this on a good day, I came up lacking on his other criteria. Like, big-breasted. Nope, even on a good day I was average, and I was totally okay with that. Big boobs were more trouble than they were worth from what I'd seen, and I was fine with my adequate bust size. But most importantly, almost every woman I'd seen Roman with had been tall, towering supermodels who gave gravity a run for its money, with the aforementioned big boobs surely throwing their balance off. Even in heels, height was a stretch for me. Unless I was in a room of preschoolers, and then it might be a possibility. But in the world of Roman Pierce, I 100% did not fit the definition of anyone he would date. Which was why I had to go. Because that made sense. I'll go, I stood up, throwing caution and clearly common sense to the wind as I agreed to go get a drink with him. Let me just get these files back together. Leave the files. He put his hand down on the mess of papers, any effort to clean them up stopped by his massive palm. Get your stuff, and let's get out of here. Okay. I didn't bother to argue, leaving everything where it was. I'll be back in a minute. I moved out of the boardroom to my office at the end of the hall. He might have ignored my question about the phone call, but who or whatever it was had definitely got under his skin. Grabbing my purse, I shut my office door behind me and walked back toward the boardroom to find him waiting out in the hall. We'll take my car. He didn't ask, more dictated what we were going to do. Mine is parked downstairs, too. I stopped short of telling him that riding in the car together was not going to happen. Not when I had no idea what was going through his mind. Just tell me which bar you want to go to, and I'll meet you there. Then I can just drive home. He looked at me for a second, almost like he was going to argue. Heart and Vine. Okay, I just want to get something else before I leave. I'll see you down there. I was lying, of course. I just needed an excuse to stall. It would be too awkward to ride the elevator with him, walk to our cars, and then drive to the bar. Not sure why, exactly, but it felt weird, and considering the whole scenario felt strange, I wasn't going to add any more.
Fine.
Again, he didn't argue.
See you there.
And with a nod, he left. Well, the evening just took a turn for the unexpected. My only hope was that it was a good thing.
Chapter 6. I was surprised to find a vacant parking spot when I got to the bar. Even though it was a weeknight, like most bars in L.A., Heart and Vine was packed. I felt slightly overdressed, wearing a pencil skirt and jacket, so as I slipped out of the car seat, I pulled off my jacket and unbuttoned my blouse a little. Not enough to be sexy, just so I didn't look like I was in there to serve anyone a subpoena. A quick adjustment of my hair, pulling it out of the ponytail and letting it fall loose, I decorporatified myself. Well, as much as I could using the side mirror of my car and working with what I had. It wasn't that I was trying to impress him, either. But the effort made me feel less self-conscious. So, without giving it any more thought, I locked my car and made my way inside. The venue was unremarkable, lots of polished wood with a long bar at the back, and small round tables cluttering the edges of the room, allowing drinkers to talk and sit. The ambiance was more old school, lacking the shine of a new hip and happening place, which was surprising for some reason. In the few occasions we'd shared a drink, Outside of our late-night desk drinking, he'd seemed to favor more higher-brow establishments, while this was more 90s flannel nirvana. It was easy to spot Roman when I walked in. He was sitting at the bar with a beer in front of him, while a bunch of women giggled nervously at his side. Cue my lack of surprise. He didn't look interested in the conversation, his eyes floating across the room until they met mine. Then he said something to his lady friends, and their giggling stopped, watching me as I walked over.
Ladies, it seems my friend has arrived. It's been nice talking to you.
He gave them a sexy smile that made one of them moan, but they didn't linger, dispersing like a pack of roaches after the light had been turned on. I wondered if that was what it was like for him whenever he went out. Buzzards circling a carcass, just wanting to make their move. I'd accused him of being a horse's ass on more than one occasion, so I could totally see it. The thought making me smile as he watched me intently. I thought we were having scotch. I nodded to the beer, taking the newly vacated stool beside him. You promised me you weren't cheap.
I'm not.
He took the bottle into his hands and lifted it off the bar.
The beer was just my starter. I'll have a scotch with dinner.
Dinner? Whoa. Dinner? I had already established, at least in my own mind, that this wasn't a date. It was a drink. Now, we were at the bar and he'd changed the parameters by introducing food, which made it more date-like. I wasn't sure if the new development was welcomed or not. I didn't like surprises, especially from people I didn't quite trust.
I'm sure it didn't escape your attention that we didn't eat.
He brought the bottle of beer to his lips and took a slow mouthful.
Drinking without food consumption would be irresponsible, especially since both of us are driving. Given your size and weight,
his eyes traveled up and down my body.
It wouldn't take a lot to put you over the legal limit, and considering you turned down my offer to drive you, I doubt you are going to let me do that later when you are at risk for a DUI. So, dinner. They're holding a table for us. Let's go.
He took another mouthful and moved off the bar stool, waiting for me to do the same. You constantly talk like you're trying to secure a verdict. You know that? I rolled my eyes, my time sitting at the bar short-lived as I joined him on my feet. He placed his hand on the small of my back as he prompted me to walk.
People usually just do what I say the first time, and I could say the same for you. You're argumentative.
Occupational hazard, I declared proudly as I moved in the direction he indicated. There was an odd sense of awareness as we walked through the crowd, like there were eyes on us, watching our every move, almost as if they were wondering what we were doing together, something I still hadn't worked out. Or maybe it was because Roman looked like he could be someone famous, and they were trying to guess which celebrity he was.
I could have saved them the time. While the man was gorgeous, being an asshole didn't qualify you for stardom.
Unless he was leading a double life and shot catalogs for Hugo Boss in his spare time. It would explain all the fancy suits. Maybe I needed to hire a guy and do some investigating of my own.
This is us.
His head tipped to the small round table with a reserved sign on it. There were menus already in place as he pulled out one of the two chairs and waited for me to sit down. Wow! You have all the moves, don't you? I shook my head as I took my seat. Please tell me I'm not taking poor Carla's place. I'm not in the mood for showy confrontations with any of your girlfriends. Considering we'd made plans less than an hour ago, I found the reserved table suspicious. But it would make sense if he had a standing date that it would be easy to sub me in. How very convenient for him.
Asshole. You sure you want to know the answer to that?
He looked amused as he took his seat opposite me. Sure, why not? I shrugged, almost positive I knew the answer. It wasn't that my feelings were hurt, I was just surprised he was so transparent.
I don't take Carla anywhere. I fuck Carla. And then I leave,
he said with almost no emotion. I smiled, refusing to be embarrassed when he didn't seem to be. Well, I guess that's sufficient.
What about you?
His eyes seared me as he looked at me from across the table. My skin tingled at the intimate suggestion. I'm sure she's a nice girl, but not interested in fucking Carla. He laughed, seeming to be amused by the answer as he shook his head.
I meant, are we going to have any showy confrontations after yesterday's failed date? How many times has he texted you?
Gulp. I hated that he knew things. Things he had no business knowing. And maybe Gavin had sent me a few texts. But they were only friendly how-are-you-doing messages. Just being friendly and decent. Not because he wanted anything from me. Not that Roman would know anything about that.
You guys ready to order?
I was saved from answering the question by a pretty waitress. Her smile was on Roman as she moved the pencil to her lips and bit the end in what I assumed was flirting. Seriously, was no one immune?
2 18-year-old McAllens. Neat.
He ignored Miss Flirty Pencil in my lips as he ordered our drinks without asking, his eyes turning over the menu before adding,
"And a Philly cheesesteak with fries."
Panic fluttered across poor Miss Flirty's face as she leaned in.
I'm not sure we have, McAllen.
She seemed to take it personal, like she was disappointed at not being able to get Roman what he wanted.
You do.
He blinded her with his effortless smile, the poor girl not standing a chance. Even if they didn't have it behind the bar, there wasn't a doubt she'd probably commit armed robbery just to get it for him.
I've had it here before.
Oh, okay.
She smiled, not bothering to write it down and committing his order to memory like she'd been given the Ten Commandments by Moses himself.
And for you?
Her smile less bright and cheery as she directed her attention to me, my existence no doubt putting a damper on her fantasy. I'll have the chicken club, I responded after a quick scan of the food on offer. It was standard bar food, but since sitting down I was feeling hungry.
Thank you, I grinned as I handed her back my menu. No problem.
Her voice was laced with faux sweetness as she turned back to Roman.
Anything else before I go?
I rolled my eyes, wondering if the showy confrontation wasn't going to come in the form of our waitress. No wonder he didn't go on dates, especially if this was what it was like every time he went out.
No, thank you.
He gave her a tight smile, signaling she was free to go, her ass swaying like she was going to dislocate a hip as she walked away from the table.
So, your date?
Roman slid straight back into the conversation, the break not enough apparently to shift his focus.
How did he take it?
He was fine, completely understanding, I answered, knowing there was no point dodging the question. Roman clearly wasn't going to let it go, and hopefully now we could drop it and move on. Besides, there was no need to lie. Gavin had been great about the whole thing. He rolled his eyes.
I'm sure. And was he understanding when you told him you weren't interested?
I swallowed, wondering if as part of his investigations, if he hadn't tapped my phone. Tell me, Roman. I refused to give in to him any more than I had already. If I'm not here as a Carla proxy, who were you intending to meet here tonight, unless you managed to call and get a table between the time I left you at the office and here?
Actually, that's exactly what happened, he said, not breaking eye contact. I called from the car. I know the owner of the bar. He's a friend of my brother and owed me a favor.
You have a brother? I leaned in closer, my eyes widening in surprise. It was the first personal bit of information he'd ever shared, and while the fact he had a sibling wasn't shocking in itself, part of me had believed he had been abandoned at birth and raised by a pack of coyotes or something.
I have a few.
His lack of a committed response intriguing me even more. A few. It was my turn to pursue the hard line, my pulse spiking as I delved deeper. Like, 2 or 3, or are you talking a reality show size numbers? Wait. I held my hands up, wondering if he hadn't been brought up in a weird cult, which would totally explain his prickly behavior. We are talking blood relations, right? Brother isn't some code for something else, is it?
You think I'm in some sort of gang, Harper?
He looked amused, saying nothing to disprove any of my theories. Honestly, it seems unlikely. Unless the gang was a white-collar syndicate, and then it made all kind of sense. But if you were, you aren't going to admit it to me, are you? I'd be obligated to report his illegal activities to the bar and turn him in.
No, I wouldn't.
His lips edged into a sexy smile.
But if it makes you feel better, we share DNA.
The waitress returned, showing how talented she was carrying a tray of our food while maintaining her hip swing. She'd also applied a fresh coat of shimmery lip gloss, her tongue sliding across her sparkling pink lips as she placed Roman's plate in front of him. To his credit, he didn't look up, her performance going unnoticed as she delivered my food and our drinks. She slinked back away without the acknowledgement she'd obviously been after.
So, where do you fit in the band of brothers?
He might have been coy about giving me specifics, but I wasn't done with my interrogation yet.
Second oldest.
He again gave me as little as possible.
Ah, which means there's at least four of you?
I nodded, his brow rising at my deduction. See, if there were less than three, you'd have a specific birth order, oldest, middle, or youngest. When there are four or more, then unless you are the oldest or youngest, which you aren't, the middle category becomes redundant. So there's at least four of you. My reasoning was solid, and whether he wanted to admit it or not, I knew I was right.
There are five, he conceded, looking impressed that I'd been close.
Holy shit, I choked out, the idea of five versions of Roman roaming the earth terrifying. Five? Five of you?
He waved dismissively, picking up his Philly cheesesteak and bringing it to his mouth.
Relax, my brothers are nothing like me.
Are they nicer?
It slipped out, my mind still reeling he was one of five boys. He hadn't mentioned any sisters, but he hadn't ruled them out either. Maybe I'd nixed the cult idea too soon.
They like to think so.
He laughed, yet to take a bite of the sandwich in his hands.
Can we eat yet, or do you want to continue with the cross-examination?
Sorry, I'm just... Shocked, surprised, utterly confused how we could have at least four, we still didn't have a final number siblings, and I'd assumed he'd been an only child.
Glad you felt you could share that with me.
Roman was a vault, so any information he shared was intentional. Why he'd chosen tonight to let down his guard, I still wasn't sure, but I'd hoped it was because even though we weren't friends, he respected me.
I have a sister, I offered, feeling he'd earned the mutual exchange.
Morgan is older by 3 years. She's a nurse, I added, giving him a lot more than he'd given me.
Not that I cared. Most people I worked with knew about the sister I shared an apartment with. Some had even met her. Roman had been the only one who hadn't seemed the slightest bit interested in my personal life.
I know. She works at Ronald Reagan UCLA.
He lowered his sandwich, my mouth dropping open before he added,
I saw her uniform when she came in last month.
I nodded, not needing to tell him because he probably already knew.
Yes, she works in the ER.
Good to know, he winked. If the gang ever needs medical attention, I know who to call.
We were in uncharted territory. Regular conversation. Being pleasant. I had been sitting with him for almost an hour and hadn't contemplated a random act of violence since before we left the office. I hadn't insulted him in a while either, and I didn't want to. It was almost as if he was human. Maybe this was the turning point, and he'd finally, for whatever reason, let me in. And while I loved our mental sparring, it would be nice to have a real partnership, someone who would have my back rather than someone who wanted to drive a knife into it.
Thanks for asking me out. I smiled, a warmth spreading through my body as I looked down at my food. It was good to get out of the office.
Just don't tell anyone at work.
He leaned across the table and whispered,
We don't want to ruin my reputation of being an asshole.
Your secret is safe with me, I whispered back.
We enjoyed dinner while making small talk. Correction, I made small talk. He contributed a little here and there, but for the most part, he just listened. It was really nice, actually. When he wasn't channeling the demon know-it-all he seemed to be in the office. He was still cagey about his brothers. No sisters, I got that out of him, and other than telling me they all lived in L.A., he didn't say much at all. His youngest brother, Alex, was still in college, and the oldest, Eric, was in some kind of business.
Both Roman and his brother Eric had helped the owner of Heart and Vine when it was close to going under. So I assumed Eric was possibly an investment banker or a strategist of some kind, but I didn't press, enjoying the flow of easy conversation between us. My pulse raced with an unexpected thrill. I was wandering around in an area that had previously been deemed off-limits, and I wasn't about to leave just yet. Chapter 7. By the time dinner had finished, hours had passed, and our one scotch had turned into two, with the constant tension in my shoulders whenever I was around him all but vanishing.
"You sure you're okay to drive?"
He helped me out of my seat after he'd paid the check. I had offered to pay half, but he turned me down, saying it had been his treat. "Yeah, I'm fine." My fingers wrapped around his arm. It was the first time I'd ever touched him other than his hand. My skin prickled with excitement, and I liked the way it felt. It was slightly confusing, but I couldn't make myself stop, wanting to keep the contact, and the new, albeit uncertain, connection. The drinks were a couple of hours apart. I'm well under the limit.
"Fine, then let me walk you out to your car."
He wasn't being overly touchy-feely, but he was definitely being sweet, his hand pressed against my back as he guided me out into the parking lot, his strides matching mine. "Thank you for tonight." I leaned against the side of my car, looking up at him in the moonlight and having the unbelievable urge to kiss him. Insanity buzzed through my body as the night air crackled, and maybe he was feeling a little something too. I'd always thought he was attractive, but never in a million years considered acting on it. Well, not acting on it in real life. Dreams didn't count. And I had always assumed that he had never seen me as anything other than a colleague, more likely a rival. But maybe he was bored playing with beautiful, tall women with mediocre intelligence. "Roman." My hands moved up the front of his jacket, the firm muscles underneath rippling against my fingertips. It felt illicit and dangerous, but I couldn't make my hands stop, loving the element of uncertainty that came with it. Sexy didn't even come close. I'd had a glimpse of that fine body last September during the company fun run, and that had given me fantasy material for months. Being able to touch him was something I didn't think was ever going to be possible.
"Harper?"
He didn't move, letting my hands glide up and down the delicious expanse of his chest as his jaw tightened.
"I should go."
"Yes, you should." I lifted my chin, not really sure what the hell I was doing as I gripped his jacket tighter. While I didn't hate him anymore, making out with him wasn't a good idea either. We still had to work together, and office romances usually ended badly. Maybe that scotch was stronger than I thought. Or maybe shiny lip Poppin' Lock had sprinkled some kind of aphrodisiac in our food, hoping to get lucky. Sadly, it hadn't worked out that way for her, but I wasn't about to look a gift horse in the mouth.
"What are you doing, Harper?"
His gaze moved from my eyes to my lips as he brought his mouth closer, hovering just out of reach. In a moment of recklessness, I did the unthinkable. "The evidence is right in front of you, counselor." I swallowed, a knot tightening in my lower gut as feelings of desire spread across my skin. "And I'd always thought you were a closer." Turns out, I was right. His mouth came crushing down on mine, and the space between us became non-existent as his large frame pressed against me. He decided against words, letting his tongue and lips get familiar with mine as his hands dropped to my ass and pulled me closer to him. It was insane. Insane, frenzied, and probably stupid, but as I lost myself in that kiss, I didn't care. Heat unfurled in my body as a rush of excitement tingled through every cell. It had been so long since I'd been kissed like that, kissed by a man without apology who took my mouth like he wanted to conquer it. "Roman," I moaned, feeling the bulge in his pants as I rubbed myself against him. It was as if something inside of me had snapped, unleashing a craziness I didn't think existed. And while I knew we were in a parking lot, in full view of the public, I wanted more than what he was giving me.
"Fuck,"
He groaned against my mouth, one of his hands moving from my ass and palming my breast.
This wasn't what...
The rest of his sentence getting lost in the kiss.
We shouldn't be doing this.
He was right. We shouldn't have been doing any of it. But neither of us was able to stop our hands and mouths as they continued their journey, with or without our consent. His hand threaded through my hair as his lips owned mine, my body rubbing against his as we barely came up for air. I was too afraid to speak, wanting more than just his kiss, the feeling of his weight against me making me slowly lose my mind. "Do you live close by?" I heard the words come out of my mouth without being conscious of saying them. What the hell was I suggesting? I couldn't just sleep with him. Hell, I barely even kissed him, and we weren't dating. So jumping into bed with him was so bad an idea, I had to wonder whether my earlier suggestion of being drugged wasn't accurate. His mouth stopped, his eyes darkening as he looked at me.
You want to come back to my place?
Yes. Again, my mouth functioned on autopilot as I tried to work out who the hell I was right now. His chest expanded as he took a long, deep breath, a guttural fuck passing through his lips. I had no idea what was going through his mind, but his body was more than on board. That sizable erection wasn't something I'd imagined, and he wasn't squeezing my ass in a way that could be misunderstood as just being friendly. We shouldn't. I knew that. And for so many more reasons than we worked together. But as my lips pressed against his neck, those reasons didn't seem to make sense.
I need you to get in the car, Harper.
He moved his hands to where mine were and stopped them from moving on his body.
And then I need you to drive yourself home. Can you do that for me?
Shit. It was a light bulb moment as the magnitude of the mistake I was about to make became evident. And even as disappointment flooded me, I was positive he would have been amazing in bed. I was glad at least one of us was thinking straight. Clearly, it hadn't been me. He was right. I needed to go home. Yes, of course. I tried to smile, trying to pretend I hadn't just propositioned him in the parking lot. Like I said, I'm not even close to being drunk.
Good.
He nodded, his hands moving either side of my arms.
And you're going to go right home, correct?
He asked again, like he needed reassurance I wasn't going to head to the next bar and possibly try my luck with someone else. I promise, I'm going right home. Positive I'd reached my limit for irresponsibility for one night, home was exactly where I was heading. Besides, we still had work in the morning, and the cane case, whichever way she went, was going to be huge. We both needed to bring our A-game.
Text me when you're back at your apartment.
It wasn't a request. He pulled away from me and watched me straighten. Okay. I unlocked my door, my cheeks pinking as I got into my car. He waited by the driver's side, standing there as I hit the ignition and rolled down my window.
I mean it. The minute you get home, I need you to pick up your phone.
Okay, I said again, wondering where the sudden concern had come from. But it seemed to be the night for strange happenings, so I didn't ask why it was so important that I message. Maybe one of the planets was in retrograde, leaving a trail of havoc in its wake. It would explain my temporary loss of sanity and Roman's personality flip.
I'll see you tomorrow, Harper.
His hands sunk into his pockets, waiting for me to leave. His usual smile was missing, his body tightly coiled as he stood beside the car. I gave him a wave, my lips still tingling from the kiss as I turned one last time. Bye, Roman. My heart was still pounding as I drove away. Shit. Oh. My. God. I am an idiot. Roman Pierce was the enemy. He was nothing like a man I'd ever date, even if he was gorgeous. Having a nice face and a sexy body didn't cancel out how cocky, arrogant, and, even by his own admission, how much of an asshole he was. In fact, most times, he was abrasive and rude. So, what happened? The first time he showed me a kinder, more human side, just enough to prove there was a heart underneath that impressive chest, I threw myself at him, mouth first. Gah! I was so angry at myself. I hated that I had always thought I was smarter than that. No wonder he walked around like he was God's gift to vaginas. Hard not to when you could basically charm your way into anyone's pants. And I'd thought I was immune. Turned out, I was just as dumb as the rest of them. Thank God, or whoever else was in control, he had the common sense to stop it. I didn't even care why. I was just glad the man used the gray matter between his ears and not the very hard cock between his legs, because we both know I would have gone there. My body was still vibrating, and all we'd done was kiss. My fingers touched my mouth, remembering the sensation. I liked it. I liked it a lot, which was a problem, because even though I knew how bad an idea it was, I still wasn't disgusted, which I should have been. Embarrassed, too. And yet I wasn't. Instead, I was still feeling giddy, which just made me even more confused. By the time I'd arrived home, Morgan was already asleep. There was the second bullet I'd dodged for the night. While I would have loved to tell her how dumb I'd been, kissing a man I'd repeatedly told her I couldn't stand, I was saved from the 24-hour psych hold she would have definitely placed me under. Sometimes having a sister in the medical profession was not a good thing. So, quietly, after texting him like I'd promised to do and let him know I was home safe, I scrubbed the remnants of Roman's sexiness from my mind and my body. I'll be honest, I was probably in the shower longer than I had to be, but hey, you gotta do what you gotta do when you are exercising a demon. And when I crawled into bed, I had a plan. It hadn't been all bad, and before common sense and intelligence started bleeding out my ears, it had actually been really nice. He'd been decent, kind, and someone I would enjoy working with. That was what we needed to focus on. We could do away with all the previous nonsense and find some kind of middle ground. And be friends. Support each other and drive each other to succeed from a place of mutual respect and appreciation. All of it would be fine. There was no need to panic or think the worst, and in the morning we'd talk about it like adults, then move on like the professionals we were. Perfect. I had no idea why I had been so worried. And we would both probably laugh about it months from now. If anything, we should be thankful it happened, giving us the opportunity to have the conversation and move past the silly competitiveness. Yes, it had been a good thing. A brilliant thing. That kiss had been pretty brilliant, too. No, I couldn't focus on that. The kiss wasn't the positive in this scenario. It was the outcome that I needed to concentrate on. There would be no more kissing. No more kissing. I could live with that. So, as I closed my eyes, still thinking about the kiss even though I was pretending I wasn't, I felt a sense of calmness wash over me. Tomorrow was a new day, a great day, and the start of something exciting and wonderful between us. And I couldn't wait. Chapter 8. By the time I reached the firm, I was feeling even more positive than I had the last night. I'd slept like a log, forgoing the regular tossing and turning I usually suffered. It could have been courtesy of the orgasm I'd given myself in the shower. Save the judgment, I was exercising demons. Or it was possible that things were destined to be better. "Someone looks bright and cheery this morning," Stephanie, Daniel's secretary, greeted me as I strolled past her desk. I got the first good night's sleep in forever. I took a sip from my morning coffee, unable to hide my smile. Amazing what a difference a night can make to perspective. Of course, I wasn't just talking about the sleep, but Stephanie didn't need to know that. The less people who knew about mine and Roman's tiny indiscretion, the better. Besides, nothing really happened anyway. "Well, I'm glad," she handed me a file. "You're going to need that good perspective today. Daniel and Roman are waiting in boardroom 1. Jana Kane has made her decision on her case." Panic flooded me. Daniel and Roman are waiting? Was there a memo I missed? I checked the clock on the wall behind her and it wasn't even 8:30 yet. We hadn't scheduled to meet until 9.
"They're preparing the papers for filing," she gave me a sympathetic smile. "I thought you knew."
"Yes, of course I know," I lied, barely able to contain the 1997 Britney Spears crazy that was bubbling at the surface. "I should get back there." My smile tightened as I power-walked to the boardroom, dumping my coffee in the trash on the way.
Lauren,
Daniel stood up, gesturing to an empty seat.
I'm glad you're early, although it looks like you might have missed your window to convince Ms. Kane. What a shame, too. I had high hopes.
He didn't look disappointed, more bored, while Roman sat beside him silent. The smile, the warmth from his eyes that I had seen yesterday, was gone, and now he was the same as he'd always been, cold, distant, aloof. What are you talking about? Weren't we scheduled to meet with her this morning? I was confused, wondering if during my epic sleep I hadn't missed a day. And what could have possibly transpired in the few hours that turned it all around?
That was the original plan.
Daniel sat, giving up on waiting for me to do the same as I kept standing.
But it seemed that Roman delivered some additional information. You were both emailed last night to see if you had anything else to add, and when you didn't respond, she decided to go with Roman.
There had been no email. Well, none before I'd left the office. Granted, I didn't check after I went home, but I assumed that anything important would have waited until the morning. Besides, I'd had other things on my mind after dinner. Shit. He wouldn't have. No. He wasn't that evil, was he? What additional information? I tried to remain calm, even though the evidence didn't look good. Roman didn't flinch, his voice cool and unemotional as he opened a file and pushed it toward me.
Price Waters knows about the patent and the product. They're looking at launching their own version, so if she doesn't file soon, it's going to be an all-out corporate war.
And you found this out when? I locked eyes with Roman, wondering when the hell he had time to prepare a brief when he had been with me the entire time.
I had my investigator dig around.
There was no hesitation in his voice, no apology either as he continued, business as usual.
And when he couriered over his findings to Ms. Kane, he did so with my advice that we needed to move now. Whatever she's going to lose in the divorce, she is going to lose 30 times that if Price Waters beat her to market.
Are you insane? Anger, hurt, disbelief, all jostled for position as I tried not to raise my voice. There's no way Price Waters could have had access to that technology. It would have taken months, if not years, to develop. They're bluffing.
They aren't bluffing, Lauren,
Daniel interrupted, nodding to the file in front of me I had yet to read.
I saw the raw data myself.
Then they stole the intellectual property. I couldn't believe Daniel was taking Roman's side, fury currently winning out over hurt. Either way, we can fight this in court.
That wasn't what the client wanted.
Roman's voice was tight but controlled.
You had your chance to convince her. She went with me. We're preparing the terms of her divorce.
Lauren, I have to agree with Roman on this,
Daniel weighed in.
You had the opportunity last night to give one last rebuttal. You didn't take it. And from the looks of things, this will be quicker and cleaner anyway. Now, if you'll excuse me.
He stood, buttoning his jacket.
I'm going to work on her patent application while the two of you wrap this up.
For the first time ever in my professional career, I was speechless. I wanted to scream, to hurl myself at Roman and claw his eyes out with my bare hands. But I didn't. Instead, I stood there seething as Daniel walked past me into the door.
He was just better this time, Lauren. Don't take it too hard.
I barely heard the words as I waited for the door to close. You lying piece of shit. I couldn't hold back any longer, keeping my hands to myself as the words flew out of my mouth. There was no email.
I may be a piece of shit, Harper.
He stayed seated, watching me as I moved closer.
But I didn't lie. Check your inbox.
My handbag dropped on the table as I dug around for my phone. He watched me, keeping his eyes on me as I opened my emails and saw there was a message unopened. Sent 30 minutes after we'd left the office. You played me. It was obvious that whatever I had thought happened yesterday was an illusion. Roman hadn't miraculously found decency, it turned out. And worse than all of that, he was more evil than I had ever anticipated.
I didn't play you.
He stood, walking over to where I was frozen.
We went to dinner. You missed the message. Did I at any point of the evening tell you not to check your emails? Take your phone and hold it hostage?
That's fucking semantics, Roman, and you know it. I felt sick, nausea bubbling up my throat as I thought back to